Big batteries are key to the planet's future. But what's up with these fires? From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Jed Kim, in for Molly Wood. The electric vehicle market got a little shakeup this month after Chevy recalled all of its Bolts due to the risk of battery fires. The recall comes as the EV market is getting hot. There are going to be a lot more sales in the future. I have some reservations. Literally, I have refundable deposits on 2 different electric trucks. Like many, I'd like to know how a lithium-ion battery goes pear-shaped. We asked Christine Person. She's a professor of materials science and engineering at University of California, Berkeley. She says damaged battery cells can get hot.
So the heating of the cell then causes a series of events. First, the film that's on the anode starts breaking down. Mm-hmm. And when that heat happens, the cathode starts releasing oxygen, typically. And then that oxygen burns the electrolyte. And that's when things go bad.
So do we know specifically what the problem was in the Chevy Bolt?
Well, according to the GM announcement, it's a combination of defects, manufacturing defects, and those 2 defects were a torn tab on the anode side and a folded separator. Hmm. These are real manufacturing defects. They're not necessarily the materials themselves that are dangerous or worse than any other. It's just literally something that went wrong during the manufacturing of the battery pack.
There have been some notable recalls beyond the Bolt, like Samsung Notes. I know that this lithium-ion battery is considered a mature industry, but are these incidences a reality check on that?
If you look at the volume of batteries being produced today and the price reduction that's happened just in the last decade, we used to pay $1,000 per kilowatt hour for lithium-ion batteries. Today, we're down to I think we're below $100. And I would say that that's a mature technology. Hmm. I think what you're seeing more in these sort of the Samsung Note, which were also manufacturing errors, not so different from what we're seeing in the Bolt, is more the fact that they're trying to squeeze more and more energy into the same packaging. And by doing that, you're getting down to very small margins in terms of safety, the size of the separator, things like that.
As electric vehicle sales, they're going to grow around the world. Are you worried that more of these corners are going to get cut?
Well, hopefully not, right? I think every time something like this happens, it gets a lot of publicity, even though in the end, battery fires related to in vehicles is actually still pretty rare compared to normal gasoline fires. And as you can see, GM is recalling every single one of their sold Bolts, which is a huge economic impact.
How much of our future is going to depend on lithium-ion batteries?
In my opinion, in the short term, that's going to be still the most utilized energy storage technology. It is a really hard technology to beat today because it is commoditized, because we know by and large how to manufacture it, and because it has a really high energy density. And for transportation in particular, that's important. For stationary, you could argue that, reliability and cost could be more important. But in terms of transportation, lithium ion is kind of the silicon of photovoltaics. It's just the best we have today, and it's reliable. We know its problems, and we can monitor them. Hmm. Anyone who's trying to compete with that will first have to scale up or be a lot better on day one, which is hard to see.
You said short term. What is short term?
Well, for sure, the next 5 to 10 years. The thing with energy storage is that it's not like there's going to be a new technology that's going to come overnight and take over the whole world. You'll see it pop up in portable electronics. You'll see it come in different other kinds of markets before we see it in cars. So it's going to be a slow growth. And so we'll know the new technologies that are coming online.
Christine Person is a researcher at University of California, Berkeley. And now for some related links. Wired's article about the crossroads between a Nevada lithium mine and a rare type of flower reads as so much more than your usual environmental David and Goliath story. That may be because it's crafted as a murder mystery set on a mine worth billions. The murder victims, by the way, are a lot of wild buckwheat. It really gets at the angst of needing lithium to fight climate change and what it takes to get said lithium. Norway is absolutely crushing it when it comes to adopting electric vehicles. Electrek has the latest sales numbers as of July. 58% of new vehicle sales this year have been electric. Old-fashioned internal combustion has accounted for just 10% of sales so far this year. How they switch over so fast? Their incentives are more stick than carrot. Rather than offer tax breaks for buying emissions-free vehicles like we do, they put heavy taxes on gas and diesel-powered engines. There's a lot of research being done on new materials to put inside future lithium-ion batteries to make them more powerful and safer. In fact, Christine, who we interviewed, is looking into that. Well, researchers at Monash University in Australia have made some ground on using a new kind of salt that would make for a stabler, less toxic battery. I share this story because it features a researcher with possibly the best name ever for this work. Her name is Dr. Megha Kaur. And now I hope it is also your dream that we will someday see the Megha Kaur battery. That's all I got. I'm Jed Kim, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.